know Christmas time is coming now, baby. Tell me those Santa Claus gonna come to you. Whoa, you know Christmas time is coming now. Tell me those Santa Claus gonna come to you. You know I'm gonna send it myself, darling. I'm gonna bring you a present and do the little thing that you may want me to.
Couldn't find a Christmas song involving Latin Hopkins, didn't you?
I would never doubt you.
But I did. That's Latin Hopkins, everybody. Christmas Blues, which I have every year. Annual tradition year. It's Brian Vinny's show. It is the 11th of December, 2012. It is the day before 12-12-12, whatever that means. Nothing, actually. We're here to talk Raw, as well as the TNA Final Resolution pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And we've got some old cool stuff to talk about.
The good shit.
Wrestling is so horrible nowadays.
I am so happy we watched that last.
I shouldn't say wrestling. Raw is ungodly boring. Final Resolution wasn't much. That's my main beef. It's good wrestling if you want to go outside your television set. Or you could just turn your television set on and watch some old cool stuff like we found on Netflix when we watched the WWE Falls Count Anywhere DVD, the first four matches. Yes, an entire DVD set of Falls Count Anywhere matches.
We laughed, and then we watched it.
Oh, yeah. It's actually false advertising. It's not just Falls Count Anywhere. It is... Street fight, anything involving violence and, you know,
plunder,
that kind of stuff.
Jeans tucked into boots.
Holy God, this DVD is awesome. We've only watched four matches. It could get worse as time goes on. Who knows? But much better than Raw.
Yes.
Much better than Final Resolution.
Undoubtedly.
So let's get what depresses us out of the way first, and then we'll talk about some fabulous pro wrestling action.
We start with TNA or Raw?
Go in order.
That would be TNA. By the way, I should mention, some of you may be wondering why we're not talking about SmackDown. I haven't watched it yet. So.
Believe it or not, I watched it before Vinny.
I'm going to guess there was some good wrestling, but nothing I need to see.
I'd have to find my notes.
That's not that important.
It was a really good video with The Shield, but you saw it on Raw.
Saw it on Raw. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, TNA, Final Resolution, a pay-per-view. First thing that happens is James Storm comes out dressed to wrestle. The announcers point out that on the last pay-per-view 1 month ago, he had won a title shot. Then he lost the title shot on Impact. And here he is a month later, he's not even booked on the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
What a plummet.
Yep.
What a descent. Embarrassing. So he mentions he is not booked. He calls out Bobby Roode, perhaps thinking that Bobby Roode would want to come brawl with him a few hours before his world championship match. Instead, Kazarian comes out. He made jokes about Storm being an alcoholic. Called him a goat roper. Keep in mind, this is all on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Called him a goat roper. Storm made fun of him because he had all day to think of a promo, and that was the best he could come up with. So Storm knew, apparently, that Kaz would be coming out to interrupt him.
I was going
to
say, how did that makes no sense.
It doesn't. But it did almost make Kaz laugh, so it was worth it. Plus, no one watched the show anywhere. So eventually they had a match. Took a long time to get started. And they had a house show match. And that was the theme of the show. I don't know if I've ever seen so many fine matches on a pay-per-view before. I've seen hundreds of pay-per-views better than this. I've seen hundreds worse than this. But if you like 2 to 2.5-star matches, this is a show for you. They did some stuff. There was a rest hold. Stormy just come back. They tease their trademark spots. And finally, Storm won with a super kick.
Storm is injured, which is why he's fat and wasn't working very hard.
Had a shirt on, yeah.
Which begs the question, why'd you put him in the ring?
That is a great question. So, you know, it's two guys who know what they're doing, so it didn't suck or anything, but it's absolutely nothing you need to see. Kenny King wrestled Rob Van Dam. It was a bit of a mind trip to seeing these two men in the ring together. It's the aging ECW guy against the ROH guy here in TNA. So, they basically had a Rob Van Dam match. Did the spot where they exchanged a bunch of holds. They both missed kicks and they trade off or face off. Rob, for once in his life, Rob Van Dam, they did not get the heat on him by shoving him off the top rope into the guardrail. He was kicked off the top rope into the guardrail. Learning new tricks here in 2012. Did more stuff. Rob is getting clumsier as he ages, and he also looked blown up by the end. And he missed his frog splash. Kenny tried his fireman's carry slam, but Rob escaped, and he did that body scissors roll up that only he and Kung Lee do, and he won.
I thought this match pretty much sucked. That's just me.
I'm going to say it sucked. I went exactly 2 stars. And frankly, it's not worth arguing about. So if you say it was worse, great. Have at it.
I think if you watched carefully, you would realize.
I will say this.
These two men suck together.
It was not the worst match on the show, I will say that. And I will also say that had I watched the Falls Count Anywhere DVD first, I probably would have rated the entire show much lower. Borash interviewed Chris Daniels backstage. He listed like every possible stipulation match you can think of, and then noted that he and AJ had done all of them. But tonight, he was going to prove he was the better man. This was good. Joey Ryan and Matt Morgan versus Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez.
This was also overrated, I can tell.
No.
If you gave this 2.5 stars.
This? Oh, fuck no. This was awful. First of all, Joey Ryan. I've had enough. This is a fan who thinks that what wrestling is doing poses and catchphrases, and in between you must do a few moves once in a while to kill time. Then Morgan came in. They did a spot. They had the heat on Chavo, obviously. And they did a spot where Morgan came in without a tag. You know, I'm sorry. I'm misreading my own notes. Perhaps I'm the one who sucks. Hernandez gets the hot tag and runs wild. Morgan comes in without a tag and cuts him off. And he suplexes him right on a Joey Ryan, who is his partner. And I thought, well, either Ryan failed to move out of the way, or Hernandez or Morgan's a dumb shit who didn't look where he was going. Then Morgan picks up Ryan's limp body and suplexes it onto Hernandez. So I guess that was a spot they planned to do. 5 seconds later, Hernandez was on offense again. 5 seconds after that, Morgan was backing to cut him off again. They tried to clothesline Morgan out of the ring, only Morgan can't take the backwards bump out of the ring, so he had to turn his back and just stand there like an idiot waiting for Hernandez to hit him so he could go over the ring, over the ropes forward. This is a bump that Kane will often do when he's leaving the ring for fun. I don't think Kane is ever going to be confused with someone like, you know, Shawn Michaels or
and he's 45.
And he's 45 years old. Hernandez or Morgan is very tall. This should be very easy. He has not learned how to do it after like a decade in this business. So then Chavo hit a frog splash. Then Morgan pulled the ref out of the ring. And Chavo tried a pescado. And Morgan hit Hernandez hit a Superman dive. I guess they're going to still feud. I hated this match. This sucked.
You didn't mention how orange Matt Morgan was.
Matt Morgan is very orange.
Matt Morgan is, he looks like an orange. That's how orange he is. I'm not talking like he's got a deep tan. I'm talking he bought something at the Halloween store if you're going to make yourself an orange.
Or a pumpkin.
For Halloween. Or a pumpkin. And, again, the exact same Matt Morgan I've seen for 10 years.
Yeah.
He has not improved one bit in 10 years.
No.
He has devolved.
Yes.
Which I guess the carbon footprint is apropos.
Perhaps. And by the way, they had a line here where they said Morgan had had a... They used the term a combine with the Rams. And they said he had, in this combine, he had bench pressed 655 pounds.
Incorrect.
And before I get too far into this, I will note the announcers were laughing at this like this was clearly bullshit. But still, every part of this is bullshit. This is where when you read the Observer and they'll put up, you know, the Raw will have the Did You Know fact, which 99% of all humans just fast forward through and don't even bother reading. But Dave Meltzer will read and edit and write 200 words about what bullshit it is. That's how I felt about this fact. Annoying.
Well, what's your 200 words?
You want? Okay. So
you can't tease us like this.
Honestly, I didn't think anyone would care, but it's in the newsletter, everyone. So, NFL teams do not do combines. Occasionally, they will work a guy out. They're not going to put him on the bench press to see how much he can do on a one rep bench. What they do is, when they want to know your strength and your muscular endurance as much as anything, they put 225 pounds on the bar. That's 245s on each side and the bar itself.
Even I knew this, and you have to do it as many times as you can.
And they count your reps. Yes. And second of all, yes, the NFL teams do not do combines. They do, there's one combine every year for the kids who are coming out of college for the first year, guys, and that's it. Now, the funny thing was, just to make sure that they were, in fact, bullshitting me, I checked this up. There actually was a guy named Matt Morgan who played for the Rams, and he was, in fact, 6'6". But he's 5 years younger than this Matt Morgan, and perhaps a better wrestler.
So you're calling shenanigans.
I call bullshit. Raw bullshit.
You know, there was a day when I could do reps with 225.
You don't think you could now?
Oh, god damn no. No. It's ridiculous. My body would smash into shards. But I could still outwork Matt Morgan.
Yes.
Blinded.
Yes. Borash interviewed Austin Aries. He had a bunch of cliches like the straw that stirs the drink, and he likes to push buttons and shit. Austin Aries and Bully Ray had a fun match with a shitty finish. Bully Ray had a bunch of fun power spots, like where he did a gut wrench suplex. I'm particularly mumbly this evening. He did a gut wrench suplex where he threw Austin through the air and didn't even leave his feet. He press-landed with ease later. And after all these big man spots, Bully Ray, for what had to be the first time in his career, hit a top rope dropkick.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked fine. Came flying off, kicked Aries in the chest, landed on his back. Aries took a great bump for it, landed upside down on his head. Aries tried his tope through the ropes, and Ray greeted him with a big boot. That was a great spot. So then Ray goes into the stairs. He comes up bloody. At the time, I thought quite a bit, although when I watched Sergeant Slaughter later, I realized I was wrong here. Aries is working over the cut. Brooke Hogan runs down, very concerned. She gets in his way. So Aries is pissed off. He drags her into the ring to yell at her for a while. Ray recovers, grabs Austin, throws him over the top rope. Hulk Hogan, I can only say that he shuffled down to ringside. He is at least 95 years old. He looked morose. Ray ordered him to get Brooke out of the ring, and Hulk did so. And right after that, Aries hit a nutshot and won. I was lame. And in hindsight, Bully Ray got nothing out of that blade job.
What a way to ruin a match.
Yeah. Wacky interview with Tara and Jesse where they talked about Jesse's pecs and his abs and who was tweeting them.
I never said anything about Brooke's appearance, by the way. As usual on the board.
Neither did I.
Well, Dave did. And several people blamed us. They said, "You guys!" I never said anything about her appearance.
Was Dave negative?
Oh, yeah.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Her appearance meaning being there, but not like her physical appearance.
Right.
Her appearance at ringside did appall and horrify
me. But it's not because of how she was dressed.
No.
I see. Speaking of women wearing strange things, Tara versus Mickie James, Mickie was wearing what I believe was bedazzled farmer's daughter overalls. They had a match. They did the old Ric Flair stink spot where you do the arm wringer and pull her down by the hair, and the babyface kips up, and you just repeat that over and over. Mickey made her come back, and Tara rolled out of the ring, and Mickey did a Fez press off the top rope to the floor. That's a scary move. What was that?
I dropped some. I've done it about the last four shows in a row.
It's not that scary.
For some reason, I have a goddamn... I have a pair of nail clippers in here. And
I can think of why.
When people get talking for extended periods of time, such as you right now or Dave when he's doing a Did You Know fact, I start dinking around with the nail clippers, and invariably I drop them right onto this thing
surface.
That my roller chair is on.
Got it. Okay.
Literally the last three shows in a row I've done this. I'm waiting for someone to notice.
Okay. Well, you're welcome. So, eventually...
By the way, be very quiet. Can you hear this noise?
I can. I don't think it's over the headphones.
That's my ankle.
What?
Yeah. It's very crunchy of late. You want to witness this?
Kind of.
Come here. This would be awesome for the listeners at home. Let's see if I can do it into the mic.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, God.
That's disgusting, huh? Very. Okay. It's like crunchy peanut butter.
All right, first, you kind of snapped it, and it was like, I have a toe that does that. Both my knees do that sometimes. But then when you just started rolling it around, and it sounded like you had rocks in there, that's bad.
Yeah, good. I don't even know what's wrong with it. Feels fine.
Yeah, who cares then?
Very crunchy.
So,
don't wrestle, everybody.
Yeah. Jesse got in the apron, and... threatened Mickey, but she dropped him with a sidekick. But that distracted her, and so Tara could hit her with a widow's peak for the win. Highlight of this was when Jesse sold this sidekick from a woman, and he dropped to the floor of the arena, clutching his ribs and screaming. I was going to write like he was on fire, but Taz went with like he'd been shot with a cannon.
I love Jesse.
Jesse's great.
He's awesome.
Borash interviewed Rude, said he would win, and he's rich. Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe and Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe versus D-Von and Doc and two masked Aces and Eights guys. Presumably Mike Knox and somebody else.
CJ O'Toole, I believe is his name. Indie guy.
That was my next guess. So I'm not sure whose bright idea it was to take Wes and Garrett and put them in the ring together for some double team spots, but they were exposed. They were very green and it was clear. Got the heat on Joe. Hot tag Kurt. He got the ankle lock on one of the masked dudes. Doc was about to hit him with a hammer when Wes and Garrett made the save. And for just a brief second, and I mean not even a second, a half a second, there was a slight hint of a tease of a horseman beatdown, and then nothing happened, and Kurt pinned the masked dude with the ankle slam. Mm-hmm. Do the Aces and Eights ever win matches? I guess D-Von won the TV title, but...
That's about it, yeah.
What a horrible invading group. Borash interviewed Styles, who remembered his hair gel this week.
Unfortunately.
Oh, this is an improvement.
No, I want it to continue to get worse.
I see.
It's part of the storyline.
Well, see, he didn't cut it. It's still too long. So, he said he'd win. Chris Daniels versus AJ Styles. Yes?
A long, prolonged build to what AJ was going to say.
I did.
And then you gave a hilarious payoff.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm bad at radio. What do you want me to do? Daniels and Styles, they said this was their 115th match, and honestly, that seems low. That's only 12 matches a year in this company. And when you count house shows and everything, that seems very low.
Well, I haven't been in this company for 15 years.
I guess not. So, anyway, out of 115 matches, probably 100 of them were better than this. It was good, but they've done much, 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 much better. They did a bunch of stupid bumps into the apron. AJ got a cut over his eye. He hit the Styles Clash, but Daniels kicked out. So he went for a Styles Clash off the middle rope, but Daniels turned that into a Hurricanrana, and then he hit a Styles Clash of his own for the pin. And the best part was his reaction to this. He was surprised and elated that he had beaten his rival with his rival's own move. So he won.
I enjoyed it.
It was good.
Crowd heard it.
Kinda. I went on a long tirade. Much longer than the Matt Morgan one. About just TNA booking. It started off with a comment on the crowd, and then it is just how horrible, and I mean horrible, when you back over it, the booking for TNA has been. Bobby Roode wrestled Jeff Hardy. It was fine. No one cared. And why should they? Because what you got here is the guy who was beaten for the title clean, then lost several rematches to Austin Aries. Then he lost the blood feud match to James Storm. Then he lost the three-way for the title shot of the last pay-per-view. He got a win over Roode that I actually don't even remember how he won.
James Storm, he threw him into a buckle.
There you go. So, yeah, that's completely irrelevant. And that's the challenger. The champion is the guy who barely made it for the playoffs in the Bound for Glory Series tournament. Had to win, like, his last match to get in. And everyone, no one expected him to win, and then he did. So no one cared when he won. And then he had a feud with Aries, but it was a bunch of good matches, but it was not the top part of the program. And since then, we have been told the most important things in the world are the motorcycle gang that runs in whenever they want to, and the daughter of the general manager and who she may or may not be having sex with. A distant third in the things to care about list is the world heavyweight champion and his challenger.
Yeah.
So, when you put the world heavyweight champion and his challenger in the main event of a pay-per-view, nobody cares. I don't know why they would. I don't know why anyone would buy the show. This felt like the least important main event. Like, you could not try to book a main event and have it be less relevant.
Don't challenge them.
I'm... yeah.
They'll find a way.
So, they had a match. Roode was going for wins, and it occurred to me, Bobby Roode was champion for like 9 months, whatever it was, but all his wins were always fluky and weird. I'm not even sure what his finisher is. Fisherman Suplex?
I believe it is the Fisherman Suplex.
He didn't try that here. He tried a spear, tried a spine buster. I think he's used a crossface before. But whatever he tried didn't work. So the Aces and Eights appear, because they were the real main event star. And Roode signals for them, come help me. And they didn't move anywhere. And so he was angry with them. I'm not sure what he wanted them to do. Run in and attack Jeff for the DQ?
Yeah.
That was his plan. So they refused to enter the ring. And Hardy hit the Twist of Fate and won. So fluke win for the champion. Aces and Nates hit the ring. They beat up Jeff. Then Roode was mad at them. They beat him up. And the final shot of this pay-per-view was the Aces and Nates standing over Rude's prone body with the World Heavyweight Champion and his World Heavyweight Championship belt nowhere to be seen.
Yes.
They are irrelevant.
Correct.
I looked for a word. I went to the thesaurus to try and find a word to describe my opinions for the show. I started with the depressing, but frankly that was too severe because that implied I went into it with positive feelings. And had those positive feelings dashed. And most of the words I looked for were too harsh. Like horrible, horrifying, wretched, vile, this kind of thing.
How about just irrelevant?
Irrelevant actually may be the best word of all. I went with discouraging. The show was discouraging.
I like irrelevant better because discouraging suggests that you were encouraged going in.
Hmm. I started off on a scale of 1 to 10. I went in a 5, completely neutral. And I left about a 3.5.
So, you were, in fact, discouraged.
I was discouraged.
Hmm. About that.
Regardless, thumbs down, everyone.
Don't buy this show. But what you should watch, if not that show, is Finding Bigfoot, my favorite show. And let's celebrate it with a song. It is a 3-day excursion.
You're doomed.
I am determined to go for 3 days and see a Sasquatch. Come on, Vinny.
Damn it.
Of course, Richard is going to be the group leader, and he is very large.
Uh-oh.
In the wee hours of the morning, all of a sudden I hear...
Don't go, Vinny. scary.
You don't have to outrun Bigfoot. You just have to outrun everyone else.
This is going to be exciting, Vinny.
Bigfoot catches me and eats me.
Don't go, Vinny.
Numerous vocalizations.
No thanks.
Eye glow.
No thanks.
And late night camp visits.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
All these people are killing each other.
If I find Bigfoot, we will be famous. That's an all-time classic right there, if you ask me.
You didn't find Bigfoot.
Fine! Fine, song. Let's get this Raw over with.
Well, we watched Raw. Opening segment was one of those things where one guy talks, another guy comes out and talks, another guy comes out and talks. Big Show came out and said, quote, blah, 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 boring. Sheamus said he was tired of talking. Then he proceeded to talk more.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, poor Dolph Ziggler was on top of a ladder this entire time, and Sheamus, for no good reason other than to be an asshole, tipped the ladder over, and Dolph crossed himself on the ropes and tumbled to the floor. I cannot believe this idiot took the stupid bump for a promo!
Of course he did.
Not even a match! A promo!
He's determined to be killed!
He's on his way. He needs to watch the last match we watched on the Falls Count Anywhere DVD. Don't hurt yourself, everyone.
You don't want to go through life with this.
That's his ankle, folks. He's rolling his ankle in a circle. That's no good.
It's very difficult for me to get into that compromised position there.
I'm glad the monitor's in my way and I cannot see you. Wade Barrett was in the ring when Vince interrupted, so presumably something happened in the football game at this time. He plugged Cena and Show in the main event. He called out Vicky. He called out his bookie, everyone. He called out, I'm having a horrible show.
Awesome show. I need to make a drop of my ankle crunching and play it every time you screw up a word or someone falls off something too high.
Yeah. He called out Vicky. Long story short, he bullied her into booking a match between Dolph and Sheamus later. And also bullied her into booking a match between herself and AJ. So after that, we got our match. Truth wrestled Wade with Kofi and Antonio both on commentary. I knew the match was going to go like 3 minutes. It did. And this meant the two guys in commentary had to fight for all the mic time they could get. Kofi was actually pretty good, to be honest. So eventually, Kofi beat Wade with a roll-up. And then, Truth beat Wade with a roll-up. Then Kofi laid Wade out with a body press for no reason other than to be a dick. It was a common theme among the baby faces of Raw today. They're all assholes and dicks. AJ was very happy that she was going to have a match with Vicky. She was so happy that she was hugging Oksana, who I didn't recognize. Very chummy with Oksana, all good friends. She walked 4 feet, bumped into Caitlyn, and was very excited for her. No mention that very recently, Oksana took part in a conspiracy to violently attack Caitlyn.
Or the fact that Caitlyn and AJ were bitter rivals.
Yeah. And they wonder why nobody cares. So AJ barged into the men's locker room. We were led to believe, through the magic of shitty acting, that she was seeing a bunch of nude men and Cena was trying to protect their decency. Which is stupid. But the story is that Cena is already embarrassed by her wacky behavior. We had a fun four-way tag match. Usos versus Primetime Players versus the Colognes versus the Rhodes Scholars. Excuse me. I must restate that. The Usos versus the Primetime Players versus the Colognes versus Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes Mustache.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest star on Raw by leaps and bounds. They plugged a website poll that said the Usos were the team fans most wanted to get a title shot, which is a little interesting. Then it got more interesting when the Usos beat the Colognes and the Primetime Players and almost won this match. And then they won those first two falls with the top rope splash. They teased the top rope splash in the third fall. They finally went for it, and Cody got his knees up and won with Crossroads. So good finish. Had plenty of time. They sort of tried to get somebody new over. And it was fun. Crowd was totally into the Usos, chanting along with them and everything. And I just enjoy this a lot. Oh, also, the other detail. Because of this win here, The Rhodes Scholars will face Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio at the pay-per-view. So, in this match, for at least one moment, there was something to be gained with a victory. They were fighting for something.
Yeah, a match with a team that hasn't been on TV in a month.
It's something. don't bring me down. I enjoyed this.
I enjoyed it too, but I was wondering how Rey and Sin Cara ended up the other half of this championship match.
They managed to skip these four teams?
Yeah.
That's a fair question.
They've been on TV in a month.
It's a fair question. Eve wrestled Alicia.
Actually, I hate to interrupt, but...
No, you don't.
Sin Cara has been on TV, and he's been beaten unmercifully.
Yeah.
And Rey Mysterio hasn't been on TV at all. Yet somehow they have won the right to be in this pay-per-view match for a shot at the belts.
That's true.
And you wonder why nobody cares.
Yeah. Eve wrestled Alicia. It was obviously scripted. They executed the moves well. Eve won with a neck breaker. They called a cameraman into the ring to take shots of her posing over Alicia's body. Punk came out on crutches for a promo. It was very good, of course. He said that his injury was real. He was not faking it to get out of a match with Ryback. When you're a fighting champion who fights for 380 days, this happens, your body breaks down. Heyman said if this had been The Rock, they would have had a stunt double go through the table. And then things got funny. Because Heyman and Punk cut the exact same promo on The Rock that John Cena cut on The Rock last year. He is a movie star. He is a part-timer. I'm the one who's here every week fighting.
Yeah. That's all anyone has on The Rock.
I'm afraid so.
What else are you going to say?
He's old?
He's big and jacked up. He's a millionaire. He's a superstar. He's a Hall of Famer. There's one thing you can make fun of The Rock about. And that's that he's not there all the time.
He also vowed, Punk vowed to be at the pay-per-view to watch the Shield take out Ryback.
Who he is unaffiliated with.
Right. He was sure to throw that in there. Sheamus wrestled Dolph.
I liked his Gracie Academy hoodie. Didn't notice, did you?
I did not. I noticed his GTS hat.
Hopefully nobody else noticed.
Was he not supposed to wear it?
I highly doubt it.
I wouldn't know what the hell it is. JBL is the only one. JBL and Eve, who probably has one too.
Well, not even JBL. JBL brings up Wikipedia and spouts goofy facts.
JBL can tell you who the Gracie family is. That is more than anyone else.
I think so.
He can tell you they're a family of Brazilians who beat people up a lot.
I think so. I'm not entirely certain he'd know they were Brazilian, but...
Actually, maybe right. He'd probably say they were Japanese. They fought in Pride, after all. Dolph and Sheamus had a fun match. It's like most Sheamus matches, where the first 5 minutes you're thinking, this is pointless and irrelevant, and then they start doing the near falls, everyone's going crazy. And then, just when it was getting good, Dolph grabbed a chair and hit him for the DQ. So this accomplished nothing. Did a wacky comedy skit where Vince walked in on Kali, Hornswoggle, and Vicky in a compromising position.
Just like I was in a moment ago.
Except no Kali. I guess that'd be my part, wouldn't it?
Please, no.
Well, not Hornswoggle. We had the Shield promo video. It was apparently shot by themselves in the cheapest webcam they could find, and then edited to make it look even worse. The delivery was great, especially Dean Ambrose. Fine promo. They talked about how they were not working for anyone. They were here to defend. They call themselves defenders, but really they're avenging wrongs. So when Randy Orton takes advantage of an inexperienced David Otunga, they beat up Randy Orton. This is good. Alberto Del Rio beat Zack Ryder in a boring, pointless match. It was so boring, the announcers discussed Jerry Lawler's weight loss. Vicky wrestled AJ. Brad Mad Ox was the ref. The match was exactly what you would think it would be. AJ made a cover. Mad Ox refused to count. Then Vicky hit a schoolgirl, and Vicky hits a schoolgirl, and the referee does not dive down and count as quickly as possible. He gave a fair reason to count. In the end, AJ was beaten clean.
Yeah.
Is wrestling that hard?
Yeah.
It
is obviously that hard.
What happened? Was there a moment when anything went wrong?
Yeah. In the 90s.
That's not a moment.
It's a moment in the cosmos.
That's fair. The lifespan of the Earth in the 1990s was a blink of an eye. AJ had a breakdown, just throwing ladders around to this 110-pound girl.
I hated this like you hated that Matt Morgan match on the TNA pay-per-view. What a completely unlikable... I mean, completely unlikable character. Yeah. How is this person a babyface?
She's not to me. I don't care about any of them.
And no.
So she's still pouting backstage because she lost a match. And Cena shows up to console her. And I guess that was it. Kofi Kingston versus Antonio Cesaro. Boring match. Long. Cool finish. Kofi came off the top rope. Antonio caught him on his shoulder, dropped him in a backbreaker, and hit the neutralizer for the win.
See, this is the problem with having a three-hour Raw. You were bored by this match. This was actually a good match. A little slow going early, but it was a good match. Problem was, it's on a three-hour show.
It's a three-hour show. It's the same guys I watch every week. It's the same... You know, this is a champion versus champion match. That should matter. It didn't. They all just trade wins. They all go in circles. They wrestle the pay-per-view. I guess these guys won't wrestle the pay-per-view, but I don't understand what the point of any of it is.
Well, there isn't one.
That's the problem.
I'm just telling you.
I know.
Yes, Raw sucks.
Raw is horrible.
Newsflash.
On that note, Miz came out. Miz interviewed Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes' mustache. Miz, by the way, was wearing, the only way I can describe this was a white prom suit with navy trim.
Miz is a babyface. Sandow and Rhodes are heels.
Impossible.
And Miz was by far the most unlikable person in this segment.
Oh, by leaps and bounds.
That's astonishing.
Leaps and bounds.
The best part about Damian Sandow is not his entrance or his promos or his gimmick where he quizzes people in the crowd. The absolute best thing about Damian Sandow is when somebody says something that he finds appalling.
And he has his facial expression. Yes.
His eyes grow. There's something about... Damian Sandow has... This is going to be a drop. Damian Sandow has unique and interesting eyes. I don't know really how to describe them. But when you combine it with his thick mustache,
yeah,
that allows you to not really see his mouth.
Yes.
And then his eyes are such that they can... What's so funny?
I'm visualizing him as you... I'm seeing like the Muppet version of him in my mind now.
Yes. He's
all eyes, nose, and beard.
Exactly. You can't see his mouth. You just see the beard. And his eyes grow wide as,
yes,
saucers.
Yes.
And he... You know what it's I'm trying to think of the scene in The Big Lebowski. It's after Donnie dies, spoiler everybody, and they go to they're trying to get an urn.
Yes.
And Walter cannot believe that the urn is $3,000. And the fella says, it is our most reasonably priced receptacle, I believe he says. And they cut to a shot of Walter, and he's got his big beard, and he's got his tinted glasses on, and his eyes are very wide, and he cannot believe what he's hearing right now.
Yes.
This is the look that Damian Sandow has mastered.
Yes.
And it's the best. I take back every bad thing I said about Raw just because of Damian Sandow saving this segment. That's how I feel when I see The Miz. I have no beard, nor do I have the round eyes, but in my head, I feel like I look like Damian Sandow when I see that fucker on the screen.
He sucks. No question. No question. So eventually, the... Rhodes scholars decide they're better than this show, which is true, and they leave. And Miz then announces that Cody Rhodes' mustache stinks, and Damian Sandow wears pink gear, so he wants their tag team to be known as, and I'm not making this up, everyone, this is what the man said, the pink and the stink.
Do you realize that apparently nobody in WWE, well, I shouldn't say nobody because someone in WWE brought this up, but this got through. Nobody put two and two together, so to speak.
Not think this is... Is this still supposed to be a PG show?
Yeah! Yep.
Wow. Because frankly, in like old school ECW, when they were making semen jokes all the time, this would have fit right in.
Yeah.
All the stuff they did to Lita and all, and Francine, yes. Pink and Stink and that crowd would work. Because you're calling him a pussy and an asshole.
Can we move on, you fucker?
Okay.
AJ got me swearing again. I swore off that.
AJ wanted to be at ringside for Cena's match. He said no. Big Show wrestled John Cena. Put him in a bear hug a lot. Cena finally hit the FU. Shield attacked for the DQ. Dolph Ziggler was on commentary and said, quote, "Who are these guys?" Dolph Ziggler, not a fan of Raw. They beat him up. And broken down into a big brawl, and Team Hell No was there, and Dolph, and Ryback, and that's it.
A deep sigh.
Why would anyone watch this show?
I don't know.
It mystifies me.
Habit.
Stop, everyone. Just skip one time.
Resume!
That's all you need. Resume what?
The report.
That was it. They had a brawl.
Oh.
That was the end of the show.
You were so nonchalant about it, I forgot that was the final segment.
That was, in fact, the end of the show. That was the impression it left me as the go-home show to a pay-per-view.
All right, let's play a song here. I'm sick of this.
Hey everybody, Brian Alvarez here. I'm just messing with you. I am a real
American. The President of the United States of America. Fight for the rights
of every man. I made a Dutch apple pie. American. I remember that pie. It was good. Fight for your life. First, nationwide, I shall abolish all vehicular speed limits. When it comes crashing down
and it hurts inside. Yes! No! You gotta take
a stand, it don't have to hide. Shut up, Brian.
How? If you hurt my friends, then you hurt my friends. WWE sucks.
Huh?
Sucks!
Huh?
Sucks! I am a real
American. I'm thankful for medical marijuana because without it, I couldn't catch the current WWE product.
Granny, this coming Thursday on the program, is going to do her her main event review, at least the first half of the show before she gets sick of it. Which, if I recall correctly, is headlined by The Ryback against Alberto Del Rio.
Wow.
This I can't wait for. And apparently she watched UFC on Fox 5, and she picked 3 of the 4 fights correct, meaning she beat me by 25%.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. We watched the Falls Count Anywhere DVD.
Vinny's just moving on.
It's hosted by Mick Foley. And... that's it. First match was...
Glad you moved forward for that introduction. Just had to get that out there.
This show cannot be any better than Raw. This show sucks.
What are you talking about? This show, the one I'm doing right now?
Yes.
This show's much better than Raw. Are you kidding me?
My performance in the show cannot be any better than Raw.
Vinny, your performance has led to a laugh or two.
Hmm.
The only thing on Raw that led to even a glimmer of a smile on my face was Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes' mustache.
Yeah. So the first match on this disc was Sergeant Slaughter versus Pat Patterson from, I believe, 1981. They called it an alley fight. Within 10 seconds, this is the best thing I saw all week. Maybe 5. It was just two pissed off dudes in street clothes wailing on each other. They just fought. It was an alley fight. No one can throw punches anymore.
I'll take over, Vinny.
Yeah.
This match was awesome, everybody.
Yeah.
This match It's a match that when you go to wrestling school, you shouldn't get a bunch of matches. You should only get one match, this one, and watch it a million times. This was everything that everybody always talks about when they say that wrestling is the moments between the notes. It's not the the notes themselves. Does that make sense? The music between the notes? What do they say?
Thank God you took over.
Regardless, it's not about the moves, you idiots. It's about what you do in between the moves. And this match was all about in between the moves. And they obviously did some moves as well. But
not many.
You got to see this match. These fans went absolutely ballistic for every single movement, every single movement any man made in this match. They went absolutely crazy for it. And a fantastic brawl. These men showed you how to work. This was a match where I just pictured the two guys in the locker room, and they're like, what should we do for finish? Let's have the wizard throw in the towel. All right, see you out there. That's what this was. Mm-hmm. That's the way wrestling is supposed to be.
Yes.
What do you want to do for a finish? You go over with your move. All right, see you out there. That's exactly what this was. And it was so good. Obviously, there's a place for all kinds of matches and that sort of thing. I'm not even saying there's anything wrong with, like I said, I thought Antonio Cesaro and Kofi Kingston was a good match on Raw, with a great finish. And I guarantee you they did not sit there in the locker room and go, what do you want to do tonight? Hit me with your move. All right, I'll see you out there. That did not happen. Nor did that happen in AJ Styles versus Chris Daniels, which was a really good match. Or, for example, the Bobby Roode, James Storm street fight a couple of months back that was awesome. Or the ladder match with Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy. Not in any of those matches did the men go, what do you want to do? Your move. All right, I'll see you out there. Those were all great matches, though. But no matter how you do your matches, everybody should be able to say, what do you want to do? Let's do your finish. All right, I'll see you out there. Everybody should be able to do that and have a great match. If you only want to just be able to do it and then go do whatever you want and choreograph the whole thing, that's all fine. Some of the best matches in history have been choreographed from start to finish. But if you want to be a good worker, everybody should be able to do that. And God, did these guys do that. They were so great. Pat Patterson is phenomenal. Sergeant Slaughter, his selling was just ridiculous. He bled like a stuck pig. He'd take these punches into these big wobbling wobbles, arms swinging and limp. It was great. This match was awesome.
It was tremendous. We then got from Starrcade, I believe 1985, the Midnight Express versus Jimmy Valiant and Miss Atlanta Lively. Still not sure what I witnessed here. Miss Atlanta Lively was Ronnie Garvin in drag.
Yeah.
I knew that going in. What I didn't know was that no one smartened up the announcers in real life or storyline. Because they thought this was a woman. A female. Trading punches with Dennis Condrey and Bobby Eaton.
And bleeding!
And bleeding all over the place, and then they tried to strip her. So what the announcers were telling the buying public is, you are watching a violent sexual assault. Now, hopefully, the fans were smarter than this. Because it's Ronnie goddamn Garvin. You would think. I don't know. I wasn't there. So, this ring looks to be about 12 feet. Midnight Express, it was a street fight, so they showed up in tuxedos. So awesome. Especially Dennis Condrey's, because it was white. And they brawled everywhere. It was not as intense a brawl as Sergeant Slaughter and Pat Patterson.
Nothing could be.
No. They used a ton of weapons, mostly powder, also the tennis racket. And finally, Condrey holds Valiant down. Eaton's going to come off the top with something, but as he's coming down, Miss Atlanta Lively, a woman in a sweater, long beads, I think like yellow pants, and a big giant wig. She caught him with an uppercut coming down, covered him for the pin. They won, and that was because she had a big giant wig on, you couldn't even tell she was bleeding so badly. He's bleeding all over the place.
Yeah.
And that was that.
It's fine.
They stripped
Jim More spectacle than anything.
They stripped... You don't say. They stripped Jim Cornette down to his boxers just because. And that was it. We had a match I had never seen before. Actually, I had never seen... I might have seen the last one. But most of these I had not seen before. Arn Anderson and Barry Windham versus Doom.
Yeah.
This is also fun. Barry came out in blue jeans with chaps over him. Arn had jeans tucked into boots with knee pads over the jeans.
Yeah, always a classic.
Doom came out in half shirts and the string tied around the forehead in place of a bandana or a sweat rag. They just all beat the fuck out of each other. It was they did tornado style with all four guys in the ring. They just did a bunch of moves. I don't know who was the baby faces. I don't know who was the heels. I don't care. It was four large, angry, scary men beating each other. That's what wrestling's supposed to be.
And Teddy Long all jacked up.
Teddy Long looking huge.
Looking older than he does right now.
Do not remember him ever being huge. The Teddy Long from this era I remember was a skinny ref. Apparently he became a manager and got enormous. And they fought and fought and fought and fought and fought. There were spine busters and pile drivers. Ron Simmons picked up Arn Anderson and press slammed him.
Yeah. With ease.
With complete ease. And then they did a double pin finish. There was no winner announced. And they brawled to the back. I presume they were both heel teams.
Am I the only person in this world that thought Nick Patrick was a hideous referee? Not only because of the disaster that was the 1997 Starrcade 3-count. I just always thought, I don't know. It's just such a lazy style, it always seemed to me. I'll kind of drop down to my side, and I'll kind of lift my hand and hit the mat a couple times. I was never into it. I hated his style of refereeing. And the same thing here, he looked incompetent. All the guys are down. One Doom is down, one Horseman's down. And I forget who was covering who, but...
doesn't matter.
Just looks at them both with confusion and then drops down and kind of tries to do a double count, but I think he counted one too fast or something like that, which I don't even know how you do that. But, yeah, never a Nick Patrick fan as a referee. Sure, he's a nice guy, but as a referee, it was never my style. I was an Earl Hebner guy. God damn, he was a great referee back in the day.
Tommy Young.
Still great. Tommy Young was great.
Tommy Young was awesome.
You know, it was really great, but I got a report from a TNA house show, and this guy ranted and raved about Hebner's son.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we used to go to these house shows, and he'd come out chewing gum, the referee with, like, the arm gimmick on his hand.
And the blue shoes.
And at the house shows, absolutely infuriating sometimes. But that guy is an awesome referee. If you watch that guy work, he is really good. He'll end up one of the best referees of all time, I think. Doesn't matter anymore. You're not going to have, like, a famous referee, but he'll be one of the greats. He's really, really good. Nick Patrick was...
Not.
Never a fan.
Then we had the main event of this show, anyway. Actually, it was the main event of the show it was on, too. Sting versus Cactus Jack at Beach Blast. And I think it was 91. I really should have written these years down.
I got to talk a little bit about this.
Okay.
Mick Foley was the host of this, as you call it, disc. And he comes out. He does some goofy comedy and that sort of thing. But what you notice first off is dude can barely move. And if you've seen him on Raw, he's even more immobile. Dude's never going to wrestle again. They didn't even want to put him in an 8-man or a 10-man at Survivor Series, which pretty telling. They'd actually, it had been under consideration to do Foley and Punk at TLC, but that never happened. And they wouldn't even put him in the ring at Survivor Series. So he's in really bad shape. And I know people talk about, you know, dude flew off the cage, dude did this, dude did that. I am certain that every single one of Mick Foley's injuries that have left him virtually completely immobile were a result of this match with Sting. Oh my God. What was this guy thinking? I mean, I know what he was thinking, but what was he thinking? And the funny thing is, he nearly killed himself in this match about 18 times. He took 18,000 bumps on the cement, on his hip, on his back, on his head, went over the guardrail, went back over the guardrail, hit the cement after coming off the frickin' post. I mean, this was like, guy got in 15 car wrecks. I know that people like to say, oh, every bump is like a little mini car wreck.
In this match, it was true.
That's not true. But in this match, it was true. And it was more than a mini car wreck. It was a multi-car pileup. He got in about 18 of them. And Foley, in introducing this match, talks about how it was one of his favorite matches of all time. And for many years, was his number one favorite match of all time. I was just like, whatever floats your boat, you know what I mean? I don't get it. I don't get it. My ankle's crunchy and I regret my entire career. This guy can barely move, and this was one of his favorite matches of all time. The damage, oh my God. And he did this all the time.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to express, because your wife was there, and she, of course, had never seen this before, and was horrified by what she witnessed. And trying to take it all in. And I was trying to explain to her, he did stuff like this on every show. That was his job. He was fall on cement guy.
What a job to have.
His finisher was an elbow off the apron on a cement.
Yeah. Kind of sad, I guess, but maybe not. I mean, he's happy, apparently.
I guess.
So, great.
I don't recommend following in his footsteps.
No.
I think just because it worked for him does not mean it will work for you.
No.
The worst one, and he may disagree, there was a point where Sting did a back suplex on the floor. And that's a move where you can do it, and you can lift the guy up high, and then you just kind of both, you kind of sit down. You can protect the guy somewhat. Sting lifted Cactus into the air as high as he could, and then he let go. And Cactus thudded to the earth.
Great match.
It was a hell of a match.
But my God.
Not just because Cactus killed himself, although he did. Cactus, I know we talked about how he can't move now, and he's not been able to move for some time. In the early 90s, Cactus could move. And we all talk about the Cactus clothesline, and lots of guys do this. You close on the guy over the top rope, and you go over with him. When he hit Sting with this move, he flew over the top rope. He looked graceful. Really.
I think that's what I don't know. I don't really want to blame Mick Foley. It's not his fault. But the world is littered with the bodies of people that tried to be Mick Foley.
Yeah.
And the problem with a lot of them, most of them, is I don't think they understood that Mick Foley was a great worker.
Yes.
Who also decided he wanted to kill himself in the ring.
Yes. You must have both those elements to be Mick Foley.
There were a lot of guys that were like, hey, I'm fat too. I can fall into cement. I'll be the next Mick Foley. Not realizing that Mick Foley was a great worker. He was a great athlete given his size. He was a great promo. He was a great personality. He had a great look and a great character. He had everything, really, except a bodybuilder's physique.
Yeah.
If you would have had a bodybuilder's physique, then God even knows what he would have been. But the fact is that that's really the only thing that Mick Foley was missing was that physique. He had everything else. He could talk, he could work, he could move, everything. He was not just a fat guy who the only way he could get over was to fall on cement. That just happened to be a way to compensate for not having the body. But Mick Foley was an all-around great worker. So, if you're a great worker, everybody, don't do the added falling on cement. That's my...
I will add to that. If you're a shitty worker, you shouldn't fall on cement either.
If you're a shitty worker, just, like, be a bouncer.
Yeah.
That's the easiest answer.
Do MMA.
Yeah, do something. So, yeah, great match. High price to pay.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's our show.
Well, next week we'll watch more of that one. It is pretty damn good so far. It is on Netflix right now. The WWE Falls Count Anywhere DVD. I'll put a link up on the front page as well if you want to check that out. So anyway, let's play one last song, and then we'll wrap it up here today. Now, what are you trying to do to make it go to the top?
I'm rolling the thing, and I'm just, my gosh, this is awful.
All right, partner.
Whoops.
Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is.
It won't go up anymore. This thing just keeps flipping on me. Wait. Oh, wait a minute.
How about the up arrow?
It won't quit flipping.
Flipping? It's rotating?
I'm rolling the thing, and I'm keeps going up and down. Keeps going up and down. Rolling.
Have we ever played that before?
I think you have. It's awfully great.
All right, everybody. That's the Brian Vinnie Show for today. Back tomorrow with a brand new 10-minute afternoon update. All of the most important stories in a 10-minute format for you, as well as Wrestling Observer Radio in the evening. Lance Storm is on Figure 4 Daily tomorrow, as well as the designers of the WWE 13 video game. If you've got the game and you've got questions, post them on the board in the radio show section in the thread for the WWE 13 game designers. That is four big shows coming up tomorrow. So if you're not a subscriber, you're missing out. And if you are a subscriber, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Adios.